Also sehr nicht mehr ist geschlagen, wenn wir heute mit Sachen Megillah Daf Chavov. Perek Beneho, ihr Perek Revi, sagt der Mishnah Besiyat HaDeshmai, if the people of a town sell the town square, the money has to be used to buy a Beis HaKnesses. If they sell a Beis HaKnesses, it has to be used to buy an Aron Kodesh. If they sell the Aron Kodesh, the money has to be used to buy cloth wrappings for the Torah. If they sell those cloth wrappings, they have to use the money to buy Svarim of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. If they sell those, they have to use the money to buy a Sefer Torah. The reverse order is not permitted, meaning you can't use the money from selling a Sefer Torah to buy Nevi'im and Ksuvim, etc. The same order has to be followed for any money left over after purchasing the allowable items. Zakti Gemara Rabbi Aruchanan Rabbi Yechanan said the Mishnah that says that the town square has some Kedusha follows Rav Nachman Bar Yosi, who would author anonymous statements. However, the Chum argue and say that the town square does not possess any Kedusha. Rav Nachman Bar Yosi holds that there is Kedusha because it's used for davening on fast days and mamadays. The Rabbanan say this is occasional use and it doesn't give it any Kedusha. Mishnah said, Beis HaKnesses Lechem Tevim. Shmuel Nachman Nehemiah Yonason said, only the shul of a village may be sold because it's deemed to be private property of the villagers. However, the shul of a city may never be sold because it's deemed public property since it's used by many people from outside the city as well. Rashi said, the shul of Matam Achasya, although many people from the outside come to it, since it's only they only come to learn from me, I may sell the shul if I want. Vechem Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa that the coppersmiths had a shul in Yerushalayim that they sold to Rabbi Eliezer. We see that a shul even in a large city may be sold. Yerushalayim is a large city. Evidently, since it was a small shul made by the coppersmiths themselves, not by the city, it was allowed to be sold. In fact, my Bryce says that Saras on the houses only takes effect on houses that are in base Eretz Achuzaschem, the land of your inheritance. This excludes the halachas of house Negoim from the city of Yerushalayim. Yehuda argues and says that it only excludes the place of the Beis HaMikdash. This suggests, however, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the shuls of Yerushalayim may be subject to Negoim. Now, according to Reb Shmuel, they should not be, because they're not considered your inheritance, since they can't be sold. And for the Gemara, Yehuda meant to say that only holy places are not subject to the Goyim, which would include the shuls, and would therefore follow the view of Reb Shmuel. Zakhneman Machalekis in the Bryce says that the Tanakama holds Yerushalayim was not divided among the Shvatim, meaning Yehudim and Yamin, and therefore any house is not considered to be in the land of your inheritance. Yehuda holds that it was divided among the Shvatim. In fact, the Gemara says we actually find that Machalekis Tanoim of two Bryces as well. Zakhneman Rava said the limitations on use of the proceeds is only where the shul was not sold by the seven trustees of the city in the presence of the people of the city. However, if it was sold by the seven trustees in the presence of the people, then the money can be used even to buy beer. Ravina had the ruins of a shul in his field. He asked Rashi whether he was allowed to plant in that area. The Rashi told him, go and buy the ruins from the seven city trustees in the presence of the city's people, and then you can go ahead and plant in it. Rami Bar Abba was building a new shul and wanted to destroy the old shul so that he could use the bricks and the beams from it for the new shul. He was unsure whether it was permitted based on the statement of Rav Chista, which says that one may not destroy a shul until a replacement is built. Rami Bar Abba felt that the reason you're not allowed to do that is concerned that the new shul won't be built due to some negligence. However, this case may be different. He was unsure, and therefore Esar Papa and Rav Huna, they each told him that it was Usser. Rava said, given the proper circumstances, it's permitted to sell or exchange the shul as discussed in the Mishnah. However, it's never permitted to rent out or mortgage out a shul and then have it used for mundane purposes, because in such a case, the shul would retain this kedusha because it was never exchanged onto the money and would therefore be also to be used for regular chul and dikah purposes. Even the bricks of an old shul may only be used when sold, but not when borrowed. However, bricks that were only designated for use in a shul may be used in any form. Even if one follows the view of hazmana milsa, meaning preparation of an item gives it the status of a future use of this item, that's only when it's in a state that it's ready to be used, meaning let's say clothing for a mace. However, loose bricks would not get the status of a shul. Regarding whether a shul retains its kedusha when given as a gift rather than sold. One says it retains kedusha and it's also to use for other purpose because it didn't have a transaction like the payment of the money to remove the kedusha. The other says the kedusha is removed because the gift must have been given in return for some benefit that the town received from the recipient of the gift. Therefore, it's like a sale and the kedusha is removed. The Braisa says, Tashmishe mitzvah, items used for a mitzvah may be thrown away. They don't have inherent kedusha. Tashmishe kedusha, on the other hand, which they have to be named geniza, when they're no longer used because they have inherent kedusha. Tashmishe mitzvah include things like a sukkah, a lulav, a shofar, and tzitzis. Tashmishe kedusha include things like the bags used for svarim, for tefillin, for mezuzahs, the case used for a sefer Torah, the case used for tefillin, and the tefillin ritzuis. Rava said, I initially thought that the bima has no kedusha because sefer Torah is never placed directly on it. It's put on top of a cloth, which is then on the bima. However, I then saw that the sefer Torah is at times placed directly onto the bima. Therefore, I consider it to be a tashmishe kedusha and it should not be used for any other purpose. Rava said, initially I thought that the curtains that line the Aron Kodesh on the inside don't have kedusha because they only serve the purpose of lining the Aron Kodesh, which itself only serves the Sefer Torah. However, I saw that at times they fold the curtain underneath the Sefer Torah and place the Sefer Torah onto the curtain. Therefore, I now consider it to be Tashmishi Kedusha, which has its own kedusha. Rava said, if an Aron Kodesh falls apart, we may use the material to build a smaller Aron, but we cannot use it to build a bima. Rava said, if the curtains that line the inside of an Aron become worn out, they may be used to make covers for a Sefer Torah, but not for a Sefer containing only one of the Chumashim. Rava said the bags used for Chumashim and the case used for a Sefer Torah have the status of Tashmisha Kedusha and have to be hidden with Geniza when no longer in use rather than being thrown out. Aye, this seems Pashut. Where it says, we would think that they're made for protection, not for the honor of this farm. Therefore, he teaches that they are Tashmisha Kedusha. The Mara says it was a shul that was connected via an opening to a room which a mace was lying. There were kahanim who wanted to go and daven the shul. Rava told him, take the aron and use it to block the opening. Since the aron is not makabel tumah, because it's meant to remain in place, it will block the tumah from entering the shul. The Rabbanan said to Rava, there are times the aron is moved for the benefit of the Sefer Torah, and if so, it's not something that's meant to remain stationary. Rava said, if so, a kitaka can't prevent the tumah from entering the shul. Mazutu said, if the cloth wrappings of the Sefer Torah become worn out, we could use them to make tachrichim for a mace mitzvah, and this can be the method of burying the wrappings. Rava said, if the Sefer Torah became worn out, it should be buried next to a Talmud Chacham, even one who would learn it only in the simple halachas. Rav Chaim Yaakov said the Torah should be placed into an earthenware vessel to prevent its further deterioration. A Papa in the name of Rava said would be converted by Sechnesis to a base of Medrash, but not the other way around. A Papa said in the name of Rava said the exact opposite. Rav Chaim said a Papa's version seems correct because Rav Shmuel Levi said that we may convert by Sechnesis into a base of Medrash. Rav Kapara dashed in the pasuk that discusses the time of the Churban and describes the structures that were destroyed. He explains the pasuk where it says base Hashem refers to base Hamikdash, base Hamelech refers to the palace, Batei Yerushalayim refers to houses, base Godel is a matter of machlekes between Rav Yechon and Rav Shmuel Levi. One says it refers to base Medrash, one says it refers to base Sechnesis. From the statement of Rav Shmuel Levi above, we can prove that he was the one who said that base Godel refers to base Medrash, because he considers it to have greater Kedusha than a base Knesset.